What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DT Pod for short. I'm one of your hosts, Kabir Kansara, your assistant lifestyle editor, and I'm joined with
Jaden Lovelady, the lifestyle editor.
And today we're going to be dissecting volume 116, issue number 14 of the Daily Titan student newspaper. In today's episode, we're going to be going over a couple stories, including a recap of the newest city council meeting, an election update, a story about Swana Week, an opinion on feminism and being just a girl, and a little recap of the briefs from the sports desk.
All right, guys, we have a very special guest here today.
Indeed we do.
It's copy assistant Michelle King. And her more important title, this is my best friend.
Guys,
my best friend.
Yippee.
What are you here to talk about, Michelle?
I'm here to talk about top story, city council meeting.
Right. How was it to write the story?
It was exciting. It was fun.
What was the meeting like?
The meeting was very interesting. I have also never attended a city council meeting, so it was really interesting to attend that for the first time and listen to what all the folks in Fullerton have to say about what is going on.
What did they have to say this
week? This week, they were talking about housing. There was a large public comment section of people bringing up their concerns with the housing mandates going on in the city.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the mandates? What do they refer to and what are they based on?
So the state of California is mandating that cities must increase housing. For Fullerton, we have to add over 13,000 housing units. And they were just discussing logistics around that.
Yeah, I noticed towards the end of the article, like, one of the quotes from Mayor Dunlap was actually that, like, he wants to work on cutting it down to, like, the bare minimum amount that they have to make.
Because 13,000 is a lot, but with these units, does it constitute just houses, like physical houses, or is it also counting, like, apartment units, like, things like that, condos?
It is apartments, any housing that a family can live in, so it doesn't include any student accommodations. Any housing as in apartments, houses.
Did they touch on, like, how that would affect the local economy at all, like, building so much more housing?
So that's going to bring in a lot more people. So that will
naturally.
Stimulate... Yes, naturally. More housing, more people. So that will stimulate local businesses. So it is good for the economy in the area.
Did they point out any key areas where they wanted to build housing, like, near downtown or, like, closer to campus or anything like that?
Initially, there's zones along Chapman, Commonwealth, kind of area, Raymond area, but a lot of residents had concerns about building in those areas because the traffic and road conditions are already pretty poor.
Right.
So they do want to try and move the housing packages elsewhere. That was one of the issues that was brought up about where we can move those, what they call parcels.
With them still being in, like, the discussion phase of these parcels, do you know, like, what stage stage of the plan they're in, or, like, what their expected rollout of this would be in terms of timeline?
By January, they have to have a finalized plan for the state. So any changes that are going on right now have to be done by then. So it's pretty imminent.
Okay, now this is our little banter section. Is there... Oh, do you want to propose a question?
I would love to propose
a question. Okay, take it away.
Michelle, is there a specific word you would love to put in the headline? Anything you've been dying to throw in that top line of the story?
Fraudulent.
That's a good one.
I don't know where we're going to find that.
But
boy, I will search.
Boy,
I'm looking for frauds.
Boy, I'm looking for the frauds.
Trust.
Okay?
I'm on the lookout for fraudulent behavior.
Trust Michelle is going to find y'all. Seriously.
Trust. Frauds
just
beware.
Just for the headline.
Yeah.
So, I have a new one. I discovered a new word today.
Oh, shout out.
Okay. Technoculture. One word.
Okay.
Technology culture, clearly, obviously.
Right.
But I have never...
I wouldn't
have known that.
Okay. All right. Well...
Luis, cut that. They got me looking stupid on the pod.
You got it.
Michelle, how was your break?
My break was all right. Screen time was astronomical, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Not a lot of work done, but I'm, prepared. I'm well rested.
Oh.
locked in for the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks?
We have 2 weeks and then one, and then finals week. And then we're done. Oh, yeah, sorry, guys. Oh, sorry brother. To ruin the mood in this room right now.
Just dropping absolute bombshells on the podcast right now.
Yeah, so 2 weeks if you're like a Bachelor of Arts, because you got essays that last week.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes,
true.
Don't very true and accurate.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, com majors.
Are you excited for the next semester? What's your lineup looking like?
My lineup of classes?
Yeah.
It's looking pretty good. We got some English classes. Shout out English majors.
Right.
We got Chaucer on the schedule.
Yep.
We got Shakespeare.
All right.
We got some com classes and we
shout
got honors.
Shout out English majors everywhere.
Yes. Shout out English. Love that language.
I am taking five. Count them. The whole
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 journalism classes.
Oh, brother.
Yep.
I'm taking 2. Sorry.
Oh, joyous day.
Yeah. Shout out journalism minor.
Hey, man, I actually made my schedule while I was in another class because I forgot that it was my time to register.
Right.
So, as far as I know, I'm taking 4 classes, one of them being my internship, and I thankfully don't have school on Thursday or Friday, if I made that correctly.
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday.
Wow. You know what's evil? Lucky I have a 9 a.m. on Wednesdays. That's my earliest class I've ever taken.
Yep. Good luck, Charlie.
Lord. All right. Yikes. Well, I don't quite think we have anything else for you.
Yeah, no, I think we're all good
here. I heard a rumor that you're leaving right now.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
They're coming for you.
Oh. What time?
Now.
You can.
Say it ain't so.
I'm saying it now.
I'm telling you right now, the soil is starting to fall.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
mother.
Better watch your head.
Mother.
Yep. You better
mother.
Watch your head. Like.
No, I think I know how Joan of Arc felt.
You might.
Oh, you know, no.
You can't do that in here, though. You gotta go.
Bye.
Hey Titans, this is Raniel Santos, copy editor at the Daily Titan and assistant producer for the podcast. All editorial positions are open for next semester, so check out the applications at dailytitan.com. For priority consideration, send your applications in by Friday, December 6th.
You know, Jaden, the community bulletin has really been plastered with posters.
Has it really?
Yeah, there's some rumors on them as well.
Wait,
QR codes you can scan even?
I've, like, been seeing that. And, like, I mean, okay, it could be wrong. But to my knowledge, I think it's that Isaiah Malari, our digital managing editor, is here to talk on the pod today?
Yeah, I scanned the QR code on the flyer outside and it said he would be here.
No way.
Yeah.
Do you think he's, like, around somewhere?
I hope so.
I think you got the wrong QR code because I put it to my Venmo.
Man.
No, I saw that. I just didn't feel like it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah. Call
thanks.
The bank, not
wow,
me.
You're super nice.
Right.
One of the greatest, actually.
Super generous.
Okay. Yes. Can you talk about what you're here to talk about now?
So, it's been 3 weeks since Election Day. And Democrat Derek Tran in California District 45, he finally won. And the reason why he won is he had a lead in the past couple of days. He overtook Michelle Steele by like close to 500 votes. And he ended up taking the lead eventually. And Associated Press called the race Wednesday evening, last Wednesday, and it was one of the closest races here in the country.
What do you think contributed to him getting that lead over the end?
A lot of those votes were coming from Los Angeles, which is obviously a very heavily Democratic county.
Yeah.
Orange County, though, was also pulling through with a lot of those Democratic votes as well, too.
Were there any major takeaways from this election race?
Yeah, it's one of the closest ones. I mean, it took 3 weeks to finally get a race call.
How long do they normally take to call these votes?
Usually for House, obviously it's going to depend on the candidate. It's going to depend on the incumbency. It's depending on, you know, a lot of different factors. But usually it's within 3 days, right? Mm. You're going to see a lot of those called within the week, really.
Right.
But it's been more than 3 weeks.
Do you have any other major takeaways coming out of this election race? Anything else you want to touch on?
This is a huge one. And I would say that this is going to really impact, I don't want to say really impact, but, you know, because the House is majority Republican now. So, I mean,
every role has its impact, though.
Oh, of course,
exactly. Yeah. And so in this case, it's going to narrow that lead down just a tad bit. The Republicans have a majority of 220. Democrats have 214. So it's a six representative lead for the Republicans. So He narrowed it down, and he won Los Angeles County, yeah, with 56% of the vote. So, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you know any policies that he was running on that he plans to enact once he gets this spot or once he really starts doing work in this new role?
Yeah. So he, one of his biggest policies is addressing the cost of living. Mm. So I think that's
a real important one.
Yeah. I mean, they, again, it was, as mentioned in the article from our news editor, Brian Jimenez, and our managing editor, Ruben Montoya, who obviously I have to credit them. But aside from, so they mentioned the tit for tat attacks. So a lot of it was, again, based on a lot of the issues a lot of people have been focusing on, which is immigration, economy. Economy was one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
Like affordability. And so Tran ran on the idea of we need to focus in on the economy and focusing on what we can do to reduce cost of living. And so I think a lot of people gravitated towards that.
Yeah. So did he specifically say that that was going to be like his first steps, like coming back into office?
That I have no idea.
Okay. Nice.
No idea if that was his first one. But obviously, you know, if you're a presidential or not even presidential, even any candidate for anything, you're going to run on any position really that you stand by. So
yeah for course, sure.
Definitely. I wouldn't say this is first, but I mean, nowadays,
it seems like
it's something that it's going to be a priority for.
For sure.
All right, guys, get excited. We're going over to my favorite desk as the lifestyle editor. And that's going to be lifestyle.
I thought it was opinion.
You know, I like to keep them on their toes. You know what I'm saying?
Respectable. Talking about keeping them on their toes, we are going to be covering SWANA Week and SWANA's events. So for those that aren't super familiar, SWANA is the Southwest and North African Student Organization, which is made up of a couple different clubs on campus.
Eight
of them, to be exact. Count them up. Yes, but basically throughout the week, they've held different events that highlight different aspects of the SWANA region and its culture. From different fashion shows to different bartering activities.
Yeah.
So this article, which was written by
Sarah Leone, she is our lifestyle assistant.
Yes. This article written by Sarah focused a little bit more on the foundation of what SWANA is and how it came to be, as well as like the progression of their events over time. So I really enjoyed reading the story. I really love Sarah's lead about like Mary.
Yeah, it was cool. Like it was cool that she took a more storytelling aspect with it. Yeah. With Well, she's now a CSUF alum, but Mary Chamas, she started it, and it was like basically the story overviews how she was going to transfer into a graduate program at another school, and she was kind of inspired to like take something with her from her undergrad, and so she originally started with the idea of starting a Lebanese club. Mm-hmm. And she spoke to Sarah a little bit about how she wanted to be a little bit more inclusive than that, and like because she realized there's such a big community like just around like around Fullerton and around like Orange County. So I thought it was like really cool that she put the effort to be more inclusive and build a bigger community.
Especially,
what were your takeaways?
I really enjoyed that as well because of the idea of like there's so many people who come from cultures that are adjacent to Lebanese culture. Mm-hmm. Or cultures that are from a similar region that share a lot of cultural aspects, but there are also like key differences between each culture. So to have a club and an organization that kind of oversees all of it and gives each one of those different cultures a platform to really show out and show what they're about is really awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool too. Like she got some like interviews just on students who attended the events and stuff like that, and how everyone just kind of echoed the sentiment that it was really like a special thing to learn about other cultures that might be like, you know, geographically close to their culture or like sharing some traditions. And it was just cool to hear like people appreciate the fact that they can be like they feel safe in that environment of people who are like them and like understand like their point of view on things and stuff like that. Events like this and stories like this are honestly like my favorite to put out as the editor, just like in general, because it's just like, I don't know, it like kind of is a bright spot in dark times a little bit.
Oh, of course. And that was another big highlight of the week because of how much has been going on within the region in terms of conflict, to give students a space to come together to really feel that peace and unity and really like allow them to show off their culture in ways that isn't being displayed in traditional media is super important right now.
For sure.
Yeah. And SWANA Week dates back to 2019, but over time it's become bigger and bigger with more celebrations and more cultures included in it.
Yeah, she started, Mary, she started the club in 2019.
Yeah.
And this is their sixth year of hosting, like, SWANA Week in November.
I also really liked the idea of having the fashion show mm-hmm. as like a precursor to
that
the
DAP. That was so cool.
Because it really like shows you the differences that come out of these regions, even though like the countries might be so close together, there are so many intricate differences that happen in these cultures and in these like communities, that really giving them a platform to show like, this is what we wear and this is what it looks like where we're from,
yeah.
is like super cool.
It's also just like good little excuse to like dress up,
yeah,
and
throw
look
it
cool.
on. Throw it on.
Have at it.
All right, diving on into our opinion desk, we have a story written by Catherine Habibi, one of our opinion assistants. It's a critique on the phrase, I'm just a girl, in terms of its misrepresentation of feminism.
Yeah, so I thought it was a really interesting take for this story to have about how it's less of a, like, of course, not like a put down for people who are actually trying to, like, spread, not spread, but, like, inform people what feminism actually is in the 21st century, and more of a critique of the whole, like, I'm just a girl mindset and doing like girl math and girl dinner and like politics for the girls. Like, I think it was a very valid critique to explain in better words how the whole like I'm just a girl or like girl something is a synonym for like dumbed down. Like, why does the dumbed down version have to be the girl version or for the girls?
Right. And I like, obviously, I'm not a girl, so I don't know too much about this perspective, but from the outsider looking in, it feels like it's reductive language because it reduces the actions and the movement behind feminism and the actions that the users of this phrase are, like, doing.
Absolutely.
Because, like, you know, it's one thing to drive, but then it's another thing to be like, oh, I'm a girl driving, or like, oh, doing yeah. math versus, like, I'm a girl doing math.
They use it as an excuse for being bad at something.
Yeah.
Which, and, like, just in my experience like as a girl and like seeing these TikToks or like these reels or like it's mostly on social media that these conversations are happening, obviously, but like seeing people who are saying that be like overly bubbly or overly animated, it's like, you're driving us into the ground, dude. Like, you're such a misrepresentation of what feminism is trying to do.
Yeah, and it's such a 180 from where the point originally like came from, because it comes from the No Doubt song, I'm Just a Girl.
Yeah, it and comes from being about, empowering.
Yeah, exactly, because the whole song is about how like women are limited and reduced inside of a patriarchal society.
I thought it was a really interesting like way to lead into the story by like referencing the song I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt, because the main lyrics in that song are like, oh, I'm just a girl in the world and stuff like that. And I think it was such a like, it put it in perspective how like you're seen as a girl first and a person second. And that's what the commentary of the song is about, of course. And that's like, you know, kind of relating to this whole like feel good feminism thing that's happening online. And like, it's such a progressive thing that got diluted down to such a regressive thing. Yeah. It's crazy to see us spin in circles.
And I think a lot of that comes with like the shift in perspective of the song, because the whole I'm Just a Girl song comes from the perspective of how the world views yeah. Gwen Stefani, or I guess like the main character of the song in that case, because it's about how like she's just a girl in the world, whereas when it's posted on social media, it's like posts coming from the girls, which in a sense is supposed to be fighting against the mentality of the song, because the song comes from the outsider's perspective on women.
Yeah.
Whereas women on social media, rather than fighting against that, as the song kind of claims, they're like going along with the outsider's perspective, which is the exact opposite of what the song is based on.
Yeah. And of course, like, I understand how this whole like I'm just a girl thing started as like kind of a sense of community and being like, oh, a safe space, like let's girls talk about this in the comments, because it's like, it is a unique perspective, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
To grow up a girl in America, but also like it started as something progressive to be like, oh, this is something that I'm going to explain like a woman to a woman, to like a I'm a girl to the world. Let right. me identify myself so heavily with being a girl that I appear stupid. Like, what are we doing a little bit?
No, yeah.
I think my breaking point was during the election. I saw so many TikToks that were like, let me break down politics for the girls. Oh my God. There's a girl running for president and you're dumbing down politics for females, and one is running for president. Like, that was really like a really meta, like,
that's
oh,
like
wow.
a slap in the face.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's like weaponized feminism in a way. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to appear dumb to have something explained to you. And that doesn't make you dumb for not understanding. It does not, you do not need to be explained something because you're a girl.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it, I don't know. It's disheartening to see, because I know so many young people are online and they're gonna, like, I think that was just a good point that they touched on in the interview
mm-hmm.
in this article, is that like the internet can be used as such an empowering thing, of course. Like it started out like, let's have this conversation like girl to girl, let's have girl math or something like that,
right.
like a joke, like from girl to girl to build like that sense of community. Right. And it's been turned into like the message to it, or the message from this whole like just a girl rhetoric is that like you are dumb if you need something to explain to you.
Right.
You're dumb if you drive bad. It's because you're a girl. It's because you're silly. Like, okay, let's reel it back in here.
Yeah, from like the way I see it, it used to be this sort of like unifying thing of like, oh, we're all girls coming together. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's sort of this divider.
I think another really like important thing that the article touched on is that the whole like I'm just a girl trend is like very notably white and Western and founded in like patriarchal societies. And it just further reinforces this narrative of like not only like the idea that women are lesser than, but that like this is the ideal of a woman.
One of the most impactful quotes that really stuck out to me was towards the very end, as it should be with the most impactful quote in the article, but it was that our environment is shaped by what we allow in it, from our language to the cultural temperature it fosters. And I think that says a lot, because the words we use now are the thoughts we're going to live by later on. And if we allow this rhetoric to keep on sliding of like, I'm just a girl, I'm just a girl, I'm just a girl, then when it's time for these girls to become women, it's like it's reductive to them, because it's like the womanhood wasn't an ingrained part of the society from the start where it should be.
Absolutely.
All right, now debriefing with our sports desk with our makeshift sports correspondent, but real life sports editor here at the Daily Titan, we got Sergio Gonzalez in the building.
Hello, how are we doing?
Doing good. So, Sergio, what's up with sports this week? Any updates?
We have two sports that ended over break, actually.
Oh, really? Season's over?
Yeah, season is over.
Can I guess which ones they are?
You can.
Is it men's water polo and maybe women's volleyball?
You are correct.
Oh, what? My God.
No way.
No
way.
I literally knew it.
Yeah.
What happened with both of them?
So volleyball didn't even make the playoffs.
Ooh.
As a matter of fact, they didn't even win a conference game.
Man. Ooh.
What was that record looking like at the end?
Dude, they lost 19 straight to end the year.
You know what?
Oh.
Gotta love consistency.
Hey, consistency, right?
You know what? There are constants in this world. You know what I'm saying? And like,
I would add that
somehow every single one is good.
Yeah.
Somewhat, yeah.
In some sort of way. And maybe that's their journey.
Yeah.
What Maybe. About the other one?
Yeah, what's up with water polo?
So they did make the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah,
they only
out.
Lost by 2 against the number 12 team in the country. So, hey. Like, on paper, not that bad.
Okay.
But in the end, I mean, eliminated.
Yeah, you know? Definitely room for improvement on both ends.
A little
but
bit, for
close,
sure.
Close loss.
Somewhat close, yeah.
So, hey, cool.
A little yeah. bit of time for
shout
them to pick
them.
It up.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, the men's water polo, this is their second year?
This is their second year,
of,
yes.
like, being an actual team?
Yes.
Wow.
They had a program, I believe, before the 1980s, and then they brought it back this last year.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Quite a time off.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you have any major takeaways from either one of the sports being their final games?
I think volleyball is especially disappointing because they took a step back last year. And granted, this wasn't a step forward. They just stayed in the same spot.
That's, like, almost even worse.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, no progress in either direction.
Yeah,
you can't really assess what's happening
exactly.
over there.
Last year they were 2-25. This year they were 4-24. So it's like, what progress are we really getting?
Yeah.
At?
Do you have any ideas as to what could be leading to like this lack of wins?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because they kept a decent chunk of their core and they just didn't improve. Mm. They regressed a little bit, which is kind of concerning.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like because of the team makeup, or do you think it's in like management of the team maybe?
Highly management, to be honest. But it could be a mix of both.
Do you know how many coaches they have?
I do not. I would say around like 3 or 4, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact wow. number, but.
Yeah. Definitely going to be some discussion happening there for sure.
For sure.
Tough season.
Yeah. And then do you have any takeaways about water polo? What they could improve on, what they're looking forward to next year?
Not really. I mean, they're graduating 14 seniors.
Ooh.
So they're going to have like a completely wow. new looking roster.
On the bright side, that means there's more opportunity for people to try out for water polo if they're interested.
That is true. But they are losing a good chunk of their core.
Definitely.
So.
That is unfortunate for sure.
How many people are on the water polo team?
Around, like, upper 20s, I think.
Huh. Mm.
Yeah. So yeah. they still have, like, a few of them.
They still have
yeah.
a good core.
They have a good chunk left, but the better guys, I think their top 6 goal scorers are gone, so.
Mm. Man. That's going to be a little tough for them to readjust to next year.
A little
year.
Bit, yeah.
But
I'm
I
sure
mean,
they're preparing for
yeah.
it, though.
Yeah.
And the program's still getting back up off the ground, so I'm sure they're going to take a couple seasons to really find their footing and
no,
really,
exactly.
like, establish
sure.
a position.
I think in a few years
the
they'll be in a good spot.
Oh,
so.
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, low-key, the loss, like, okay, it's a loss and it sucks, but, like, a close loss at least? Hey.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Not
it's
that
a top
bad.
It's a sign
for
of success.
The second year of its existence.
Yeah. I know, right?
That's a 2-year-old, bro.
Yeah. What's the record looking like in comparison to this year and last year?
A A bit of a step back. Last year they were 16-16. Mm-hmm. This year they were 11-18.
Okay, yeah. A little bit of regression. Yeah. But did they make it farther in the playoffs this year?
No, same spot.
Same spot, okay.
But their ultimate goal is to win a conference game. Mm. But all their conference teams are, like, very good because, like, California water polo is, like, no joke.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, we're right by the ocean.
And obviously we're still getting our program, like, up and running, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, definitely.
It's tough, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got. But in other news, how's your break?
My break was good. Thank you for asking.
Of course. Did you go home?
I did go home.
Where is home?
Home is Oxnard, California. Real city.
That is not a real city.
It's a real city.
What biome are you in?
Hey, you know what? The same biome that Anderson .Paak is from. That's a real city.
No way.
Anderson .Paak got an album named after Oxnard.
That is literally crazy.
And Ventura.
Ventura.
Yep.
I love that man.
So where are you really from?
I was born in Ventura.
This guy's a liar.
But I'm from Oxnard.
Get him out of my studio. What? Sergio, you're gone.
What?
That was it.
That's it.
We've had enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, guys. It's looking like that's going to wrap it up for this episode of DT Pod. Tune in next week if you're a fan. And you know what? While you're at it, pick up a copy of the paper. We put a lot of effort into that. Or, you know, if you're on the digital wave, catch us at dailytitan.com to read all the articles and more. Thank you for listening. And as always, if you like us, we love you.
You know, Thanksgiving might have passed, but we're still feeling grateful over here. So before we head out, we're going to give a big round of thanks. So first of all, a special thanks to our executive producers, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson, our producer, Luis Vizcaino, and our assistant producers, Raniel Santos and Michelle King. Another big thank you goes out to Bijan Shusterisa Day for the amazing outro music we got. And we also want to give a big old thank you to our listeners that tune in and week out. We appreciate y'all a lot. This has been Kabir Kansar for DT Pod, saying thank you and have a great one.